The following talk was given by Steve Matushak at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on April 13, 2025. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning, everyone. Well, you know something unusual is going on because I'm wearing this. You don't wear this too often. Just during ceremonies, and we'll be having a precept ceremony this morning. I've been talking about this for the last few weeks. So before we start the ceremony, I just want to offer a few comments about what this ceremony is. Most of you I've seen before, and I think I remember speaking with you as well, though I'm trying to remember your name, Tracy? Taylor, yeah. So welcome, Taylor. Nice to see you again. So you're seeing something a little different than we usually do. But I want to talk about what this ceremony is just really briefly before we get to the ceremony itself, and hopefully you all have booklets. And just want to let you know about that. We are gathered here today, you know, part of the ceremony is to support those who are going to be committing themselves to this practice. And so one way that we do that is by reciting along with the preceptees. So I would invite you to, you know, follow along in your chant book and recite if you'd like to. If it's something you're uncomfortable with, no sweat, you know, just do what you feel is comfortable. So like I said, this is the precept ceremony. And this is the ceremony in which one technically becomes Buddhist, right? So not Buddhist, then ceremony, and then Buddhist. But what that means, what that being Buddhist means really is just a commitment to living a life that is in accord with reality. That's it. It's just in accord with reality or with Dharma. Dharma is one of those big Buddhist words, right? It's a little Buddhist word, but it actually has a lot of different meanings to it. And one of those meanings is truth, or we could say laws, the laws of reality, how it is that reality works. But Dharma also means, I was reminded of this morning when we had a Chosan meeting, a little meeting gathering that we have during practice period before the regular sitting practice. And Matt Graham had given a talk, and he was talking about the definitions of Dharma. And he reminded me, I mean, I know this is there, but sometimes you just don't think about it, that it means phenomena as well. And to me, that's really important to what I want to say about the ceremony, about ceremony in general, is that we have, you know, truth, laws of reality, the way that reality works, right? That indisputable truth. And then we also have phenomena, those things that kind of come and go and that we easily can get caught up in and mistake those things that are coming and going for being this absolute truth, this Dharma, the capital D Dharma. So this is a precept ceremony. In the precept ceremony, what the preceptees will be doing is taking up the precepts, is the way that we refer to this. And what that really means is that precepts are teachings that help us to see. Now, I said that what this ceremony is about is committing to living a life in accordance with reality. Some of you might have said, well, how can we live any other way? Everything we do is really in accordance with reality. It's just that sometimes we get lose track of what's actually taking place. You know, we get confused. We get ideas about what it is that's taking place. And then we theatricalize life. And by theatricalize, what I mean is the theater is a subjunctive space. It's a pretend space. It's a space of as if. And so when we get caught up in our ideas, when we lose track of what's really before us, we live as if what's showing up is some other way than it is. And we think out of that belief, and we act out of that belief, and we speak out of that belief. So this taking up this way is to live a life where we become aware of when we're doing that, when we're living life as if it were some other way than it actually is, other than reality as it's unfolding. And the precepts are teachings then that help us to see that. They help us to see the various ways that we get caught clinging to ideas about self an other and the effects that that have. They're very subtle teachings. I gave a talk on the precepts in January, so I'm not going to spend much more time talking about that. If you want to hear more and you missed that talk, it's online. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about ceremony. As we all know what ceremony is, right? Ceremonies are very common. We might have a birthday party. That's a ceremony where we're celebrating or commiserating the passing of another year. You know, we have various ceremonies when humans are born into this world. We have one that we offer here at Dharma Field. When people pass away, funeral ceremonies. We have graduation ceremonies, right? And some of these ceremonies do things. So if you have a marriage ceremony, people are going to get wed over the course of the ceremony. Some of them don't, like a birthday party. Not doing anything. It's just saying, happy birthday. If it's doing anything, it's just like, let's celebrate. This is great. You're here. Here you are. You know, but ceremony is it's a way for people to come together and observe this event, to share in this event, and in many ways to celebrate in what the event is showing us. But it also does something else. There's one other thing the ceremony does that I hadn't really thought about. But as I was preparing for this ceremony today, I was going to talk about ritual. It's something I like talking about. And there's a great, for me anyhow, a great teaching that Katagiri has about ritual in our daily life. And I thought, well, I looked it up and kind of refamiliarized myself with that passage. And as I was looking for that passage, I came across this passage on ceremony. And what he said about ceremony made me say, oh, forget ritual. I want to talk about ceremony. Because what Katagiri points out to us is that ceremonies can actually bring us back to this, to the intimacy of lived experience. And even more so, to the intimacy of that stuff that's coming and going, the Dharma that's phenomena, and how our paying attention to that, to really see what that is for what it is, rather than what we take it to be. We can grab hold of those things and I think we know what's going on. But rather to see them for what they are, to really pay attention, to be in that moment, then we can taste this other aspect of reality that's always here. That's always here. It's steadfast. It's right here. And Katagiri says that ceremony helps us see the intimacy of that which is always here and that which seems to be coming and going. Because the way we usually break it up, we know what I'm talking about, right? Most of us do the two truths. So then we go, well, there are two truths. There are two truths, but they have this intimacy where it's hard to say two exactly. Not one. Not two, right? And ceremony can help us to see that. How does ceremony do that? Well, I'll give you an example from Katagiri. So he talks about a ceremony in Japan that's called Adult Day, all right? And Adult Day happens on one's 20th birthday. And when you go through the ceremony, you come out an adult. So you come in a child, you come out an adult. That's adult ceremony. He said when you go through adult ceremony, you don't feel any different. Do you know what I mean? It's just the same thing. It's the same thing. And yet it's wildly different. Now you're an adult. Now you're going to have adult responsibilities. Something happened and yet it's the same. Then we can think about the same thing with birthdays, you know, to lower the stakes, maybe just a birthday, right? Unless it's one of those birthdays that you've attached something to, you said this one, you know. It's just kind of go, oh yeah, it's my birthday. I remember when I went to graduate school, I was 34 years old, which is a little old to be going to graduate school. I was still lost, even going to graduate school was part of that. But at 34 years old, I would tell all the people in graduate school that I was going on 40. I don't know why I said that, but I'm like, yeah, I'm going on 40 years old, you know? So when 40 came around, I'd already been 40 for about 6 years. So it didn't really matter to me at all, you know? But birthdays are usually like that, where you can't even really tell that it's happened, you know? And yet, you know, we were talking about last night with some old friends of mine, among other things. We were talking about birthdays, and one of them has a daughter who's 30 years old, and she's kind of almost sounds like she's going through a midlife crisis, just a little bit like that. And Todd went, you know, when I turned 30, it was kind of a big deal for me too, you know. And I was like, well, for me, 30 wasn't such a big deal. 40 wasn't such a big deal, but for some reason, 50 was. So if we attach some kind of significance to it, then it might feel like something. But otherwise, you can't tell. And yet, you're a year older by our count, right? So it's the same and it's different. And it's in observing the difference that we can also see, really feel intimately how it's not. So we recognize the change, but we also feel there's no change. It's always this. That's not never changing. So ceremonies can help us to see that. So not Buddhist. Buddhist, we can see no change. There's a difference. There's that commitment I was talking about to being attentive to what's showing up, to really be attentive to it so that you get the fullness of experience so that you see what's really showing up, so that you're living in attune with reality. But you're always living in attune with reality. But before you take up this way, perhaps you don't pay attention. You don't see what's actually taking place. So the same person, same reality is showing up. We're still acting out of reality, but there's a difference. And so, again, this ceremony is to commit to being here, to living fully what this life is. And hopefully I'm not making you guys want to run out of the room right now. So we have two gentlemen here. We have Paul and Mike, who will be taking the precepts. But then we have a couple of people online who are joining us as well. And I just want to call out them as well. Some of you may see them, at least one of them in classes, Mary Daner, who's joining us from South Carolina, and Ken Morrill, who is joining us from England. And he lives in a town that's below Leeds. It's south of Leeds and north of London, and roughly about halfway. So that's where he's joining us from. So welcome to you on Zoom. Nice to have you here. So that's really all I wanted to say about ceremony. We're going to be going through this and just pay attention to that thing I'm talking about, how it's different. You know, even as a witness to this, as somebody who's supporting this, you too, pay attention. You too, pay attention. See that intimacy that Katagiri was talking about. This part that I'm going to read, not in your booklets, so just in case you want to start thumbing through looking for it. Followers of the way of all times and places recite these precepts by first taking refuge in the three treasures. But the Buddha looked into his own heart and mind. There he saw the source of human pain and sorrow. And there also he saw the means of putting pain and sorrow to an end. He said, your refuge is here. You need not look further. You need not cling to anything external. This is called taking refuge in Buddha. The Buddha, the enlightened person you seek, is not apart from where you sit right now. This understanding is called taking refuge in Dharma. The sanctuary we seek is not found anywhere but in the life we live now as all beings. Thus, receiving these precepts is called taking refuge in the Sangha. But first, we have to admit our folly and ignorance. Not that by doing so we'll ever set things right. To receive these precepts, we must be open and honest with ourselves. We must look at our intention. We must be pure of heart and mind, even in the midst of muddy water. Let us recite the formless admission. All the karma ever created by me, since of old, through greed, anger, and self-delusion, which has no beginning, born of my body, speech, and thought, I now make full open admission of it. We will now receive the three pure precepts. In the presence of all beings, I vow to live enlightenment. I vow to practice non-injury.
I vow to live
benefit
for the
of all
benefit
beings.
of beings.
Will you continuously
Yes,
observe these precepts?
yes, I will.
I will. Will you continuously observe these precepts?
Yes,
yes,
I
will.
From now on, and even after realizing Buddhahood, will you continuously observe these precepts?
Yes,
I will.
I will.
The Dharma is here for all to see, but without the help of others and the teaching of the awakened, it is difficult to realize. For this reason, let us express our deep gratitude. In this world of emptiness, may we exist in muddy water with purity like a lotus. Nothing surpasses the Buddha mind. Thus we bow to Buddha. Escort the gentleman out to the library. We'll be having tea and treats downstairs in celebration. So please join us down there. Thank you all for being part of this ceremony.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.